The singing this morning was awesome. I appreciate it. But it always is. And it sure does make our services more meaningful whenever you sing out like that. We have some great singers here at Johnson. Very talented singers. And I think we've got some really good guy singers, but I think I've got to give the edge to the ladies on this deal. You ladies have some beautiful, beautiful voices, and you sure do sing out. I know whenever Brother Charles leads singing, he likes to lead songs with an alto lead because he likes to hear you ladies sing. You do a great job. And it's important because it is an important part of our worship. Singing is important. The Bible tells us that it is. The Bible has its own hymn book. There are 150 psalms of praise. And it's important for us to sing. God means for us for that to be a part of our worship. Someone has estimated that there have been over 500,000 songs, hymnals that have been published. That's a lot of songs. But people, we need to honor God with our songs. And so that's the reason why this morning I wanted to ask the question to see if we can attempt to answer. Why do we sing? Why do Christians sing? One of the reasons why we sing is because we have something to sing about. Here in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, Paul says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." Note there are two ways here that Paul says that people seek happiness. One, they seek happiness perhaps through alcohol or drugs or other areas. And he says that whenever they do that it leads to debauchery, which was certainly the case in the Romans' worship. Their religious services were accented with a lot of liquor and wine and immorality. The word debauchery means wastefulness. But Paul says that there is another way. There's a way that one can worship or seek happiness by being filled with the Spirit. One way leads to down a dead-end road. A dead-end road that can lead to ruined reputations and wrecked lives and wrecked homes. The other can lead us closer to God. In James 4, verse 13, James says, "Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise." So why do we sing? We sing because we have something to sing about. We have been saved from our sins. We have been given the hope of eternal life. We as Christians are saved, and saved people sing. The very first song that was ever recorded in the Bible was a song that was sang whenever the children of Israel had crossed over the Red Sea. God had opened the sea for them, walked across in safety. And then he closed the waters and destroyed their enemies. In Exodus 15 and verse 3, the words of that song began, "The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Saved people sing. The last song recorded in God's word is in Revelation 15 and verse 3. And that's the song that Moses and the Lamb and those that have overcome sin and been victorious over Satan will sing in the heavenly realms. And it begins, "Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints." God's people have always been singing people. Back last century, there was a man by the name of Robert Ingersoll. Ingersoll was an agnostic, and he went on tours around the country speaking against Christianity and against God. When Ingersoll died, on the invitations that were sent out about his funeral, there was written, "There will be no singing." Isn't that a shame? To go out into eternity with nothing to sing about. We sing because we have something to sing about. Another reason why Christians sing is because it lifts our spirit and it strengthens us and our brothers and our sisters. We sing because, as Paul said, we speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. In 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 26, Paul writes there that the hymns are for the strengthening of the church. And in Galatians 3 and verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with your gratitude in your heart." So from these passages of Scripture, we learn that we speak to one another in our singing, that we strengthen one another in our singing, and that we're teaching and admonishing one another in our singing. I think sometimes we underestimate the power of our singing. I think sometimes we just kind of think of the singing as the warm-up act for the main event that's coming later. But I can assure you, well, it is a warm-up in that it should get our minds and our hearts focused on what we're here for, and it's to worship God. But I can assure you that our singing does not take second place to any part of our worship service. It is very, very important. And I think that we express our faith in our songs. I think about how that when Paul and Silas were in Philippi, they had been taken into custody. They had been beaten. They had been chained and were put into a prison. And it says in Acts chapter 16, verse 22, that Paul and Silas were singing about midnight. They were singing songs and hymns to God. And it had its effect. Later in that evening, the earthquake, of course, comes. But the Philippian jailer is baptized, he and his household. And I certainly believe that part of it was because he had heard many a man curse and swear in his prison. But Paul and Silas may have been the first that he'd ever heard singing. And we, usually whenever we refer to that verse, we look at it in that vein of thought, that it was an expression of their faith. And that's a great lesson. But maybe we miss the second part of that scripture, which says the other prisoners were listening to them. Maybe, just maybe, we might have a clue there about why the Christianity and the gospel was spread so amazingly quickly throughout the first century. That's a good lesson, worth considering. But you know, we read stories about Christians that were persecuted in the first century, how they were taken to the Colosseums, how that they were placed in the arena, and thousands of drunken Romans came to watch the show. Either they were killed by the gladiators who were armed and they weren't, or they were eaten by the wild animals that were turned loose in the arena. But story after story is told about how that those that were placed in the arena, how that they would often huddle together and began singing praises to God as they were ripped apart by the animals or slain by the gladiators. And they cheered and cheered in the stands. But I wonder when those Romans went home, wonder what they thought. Wonder if their minds may not have gone back to the way that those Christians died. Wonder if they realized that they didn't have anything in their lives that powerful to prepare them to face death. A singing faith, people, is an attractive faith. But then in the third place this morning, I think we sing because it is commanded of us. In verse 19, it says, sing and make melody, or sing and make music in your heart. Singing is a part of our worship to God. It is not a performance for the benefit of the audience. When we sing to praise the name of God Almighty. We sing and make melody in your heart to God, is what Paul writes. From that passage, we learn that it's a command to sing. We learn that the music that counts is the melody of our heart. And we learn that the object of our singing is to be God. And we are commanded to sing. There were instruments in the first century. Musical instruments were available, but the music that God commanded as worship to Him under the law of Christ was to be a music that came from our hearts. We are to sing, solo, to pluck the strings of the vocal cords, or to pluck the strings of the heart. And Christians understood that for centuries, because it was over 700 years before an instrument of instrumental music was introduced into the worship. So for over 700 years, these Christians understood that the kind of worship in song that God wanted was for us to sing. We could employ singers to come in here and give a performance every Sunday, and it probably would be impressive, but it would not be worship. God expects us to be personally involved in the songs that we sing to Him and that we lift up to Him as a praise and a worship. And just, you know, if we just used our common sense, what God is wanting is us to worship Him from the heart. There's very little that we can give to God. He has given to us so abundantly and so mercifully and so kindly. There is very little that we can give back to God. But singing to Him from the heart is a gift that we can give God. And an instrument can't do that. An instrument can make music, but it cannot praise God. And so the Father has given us this way in which we are to worship Him in song. Which brings up another question. What if I don't sing? Now listen to me. If indeed worship is defined by a personal involvement, the songs, the prayers, the partaking of the Lord's Supper, the giving, and the study of God's Word, what if I don't sing? But preacher, you don't understand. I don't sing very well. I can't sing very well. God made us, and He knows how we sing. And it is true. Some are way more talented in their singing than some of the rest of us. But I do not believe that absolves us, because we can't sing good, from not being a part of the song service. I believe that it is a responsibility to each one. We don't use that kind of thinking in any other part of the service. We don't say, well, I can't give like somebody else does, so I just won't give it all. Or I can't really take the Lord's Supper with the same devotion that Brother so-and-so does, so I just won't take the Lord's Supper. But we say, well, I can't sing as good as so-and-so, so I'll just sit and listen. I'm just asking. I'm not chiseling anything in stone here, because God's your judge and not me. But I think if I can, and as long as I can, I want to sing. May not be as pretty as it is. Is it even as it once was, because my voice is going, but it may not be pretty at all, but I want to lift my voice in worship and praise to my Father. But then lastly this morning, we sing because God is worthy of our praise. In verse 20, it says, always giving thanks to the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Psalms 100 and verse 2, there the psalmist wrote, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Again, what can we do to enrich God? Does the money we put in the contribution, does it make Him any richer? I think it's a commandment, and of course it is. And it's a part of our worship. It certainly is. But I believe worshiping God with our heart, giving God our love, offering Him the praise, whether it be in our songs or in our partaking of the Lord's Supper, or our giving back to Him, or our studying of His Word, His precious and marvelous Word, or what we do in worship, if it comes from the heart, is a gift to God. And we will be rewarded for our gifts. Some thoughts about why. I think the most important is that we owe it to God. God is worthy of our praise in our songs and in our life. My friend, if you haven't given your life as a gift to God by accepting His great gift to you of being baptized into His Son and into His death and into His blood, to be raised to walk in newness of life, then give that gift to God. What did he have to give up? What did Jesus give up so that that gift would be available to us? Or if you have not been as spiritual in your life, not just your songs, but in your life as God desires us to be, then think seriously about the fact that we sing because we've got a Father that loved us. We sing because we have a Master that died for us. We sing because we have a Holy Spirit that lives within us. We sing because we have a hope of eternal life. Will you come, how together we stand and sing?